Accession number 12712, Mr. S. Barker, Reel 6.
Mr. S. Barker, Reel 6. Had you been promoted about this time, Mr. Barker?
I had been promoted to Lance Corporal just prior to landing in Shanghai.
Did this change your duties in any way?
Slightly, of course. I would be in charge of a local guard from time to time, whereas previously I'd just been a member of the guard.
Did this present any difficulties with men that you'd been on a level with, par, a private, and then being promoted?
No, not at all, no. I think they all accepted the change quite well.
Have you any other memories of Shanghai?
Not other than that I've already said. One incident, one thing was that we used to, I believe I've really mentioned it before, but we went out on the international settlement for 4 days at a time, and then off for 8 days, and then back for 4 days again. This was a regular routine.
And I think you said that you yourselves had experienced no problems with the Japanese.
Oh, no, none at all.
Did you get much opportunity to actually get close to them and see them?
Very little. There was only one individual post where the Chinese from outside the settlement were crossing into the, to get into the city to trade, etc., or to work, and there were Japanese at one side of the barbed wire entry, and we were on the other side, so that we had very little contact with them, really.
Did you have any opportunity of seeing just how the Japanese treated the Chinese, whom they conquered in effect?
No, I had no opportunity at all.
From Shanghai, where did you go to?
From there up to Peking.
And about what time would this be?
This would be in 1938, probably about August, I would say. And we went as one company only, A company, to the Peking embassy. We were inside the embassy walls itself.
And what were your duties?
Just mainly guard duties, that's.
Did you get, again, opportunities to get out into the city?
A little, yes. Mm-hmm.
You said there were basically guard duties. Mm-hmm. How did they work out? What kind of rota system did you work?
Well, there would be a 24-hour guard mounted, and one NCO would take charge of the, say, three men, and one man would be on guard duty outside the guard house for 2 hours and then be relieved after the 2 hours. So it would go on through the three men taking turns.
Did you have to? Did you have a system of challenging people who came to the gates?
Yes, but there was very little need for that. Any person that approached you, you'd immediately recognise as a Chinese or as one of our own comrades. That was easy to pick out.
Were you using loaded rifles on guard?
No. They were ready to be loaded, of course, but during the guard itself, we wouldn't actually have them loaded.
Did the guard and the guard mounting procedure differ in any way from the traditional form that you'd been trained to do?
No, no, just the same.
Did you have a stick man there?
No, that was done away with for that period. One thing that I could say was that during very severe cold weather, we had to wear fur hats, what were called Gilgit boots, which were stiff leather boots going right up to our knees. And this is one station in the British Army where we were made to wear long johns. It was an order that we must wear them. The cold was so severe.
What items of uniform did you wear in this severe weather?
When we were on guard duty, we also had to wear a greatcoat with the web equipment outside the greatcoat.
And you just had the rifle and bayonet?
Yes, that's right.
Because you were guarding an embassy, did the degree of polish and so forth, was that higher than what it had been?
No, just the same standard. It was carried out right throughout.
And the discipline situation, was that any tougher?
No, in fact, I think it was quite more relaxed than it had been in Shanghai.
Were the embassies of the other nations that were involved in the international situation there, were their embassies in Peking?
No, those are just the British embassy only.
Where were you housed? What was your accommodation?
Brick-built billets. Barracks, as if proper word, yes.
And did you still have the assistance of the Indians who...
Yes, they
shaved you, etc.
Yes, that's right. The laundry, or Dobie Waller, as he was known as, and the chap that would shave you in the morning, etc.
What time did your day start?
I'm not quite sure of this, but I think it was 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. And for your food, for your meals, were you eating anything different from what you've been doing eating in Shanghai?
No, not. I wouldn't say there was anything different, really. It was quite a high standard of food.
And with your own company cooks?
Yes. One thing I could mention was that every morning when we start the day, we had to have one person from each room go with a bucket to the cookhouse to get what was called, we would term it as condensed fluid, I can't remember the other name of it, and we had to gargle with this. Everyone had to gargle with, it's a blue fluid. I can't remember the correct name for it, but...
And why had you to do this?
This was to prevent us from getting colds and sore throats.
Did it do that?
Oh, yes. Worked quite well.
Within the climatic situation, which was quite hot and humid in the summer, and then it's bitterly cold in the winter,
yes.
What was the health of the company like?
It was very good, yes.
Did you have a medical officer on the station with you?
Yes.
What leisure activities did you have?
One of the main things was that we had a skating rink inside the embassy grounds, and we used to use this quite frequently. And it was there that I learned actually to skate.
And how did you get the skates?
Oh, they were supplied there. They must have been there for quite some time. Just hire them.
Was this a frozen pond or a proper skating rink?
Well, it was a proper skating rink.
What other activities did you do?
Well, there was football. Played quite a lot of football there and did a lot of running, cross-country running, etc.
How did Peking as a city and an environment in which you were living differ from Shanghai?
Well, whereas Shanghai had been an international settlement, there were people from all over the world there. In Peking, it was mainly, the city itself was just Chinese. And the embassy, of course, was just British troops and a few English civilians.
Were there any Japanese nearby?
I never saw any, no.
And what were your relations with the Chinese like?
Oh, they were very good there.
If you went into the town or the main part of the city, what kind of entertainments was there there for you?
Well, we didn't bother with entertainment outside the embassy grounds, really. We had our own naffy and for entertainment, say drinking or tea, playing billiards or snooker.
How much were you paid?
At this particular time, I think it'd be probably 3 and 6 pence a day. I can't be sure about that as a lance corporal.
Were you paid in sterling or Chinese
in
money?
In sterling, yes.
Have you any other memories of Peking?
Not that I can think of at the moment, no.
Were you content and happy abroad?
Quite happy, yes, at that particular time, yes.
The other men around you, were they in a similar situation?
Yes, yes.
But no trouble with people wanting to get back home?
Oh, no.
What was it like then for post and getting your letters?
Well, that was a regular, delivered on a regular basis. I can't remember in detail how it was collected or delivered.
Did that include newspapers from home?
Yes, yes.
And did these come from the army or from your relatives?
From your relatives, mainly.
When did you leave Peking?
That would be in about March of 1939.
And where did you go?
We went from Peking up to Tientsin.
The journey, how did you get from Peking to there?
By train.
In trucks, carriages?
In carriages, yes.
Mm-hmm. Were the Chinese run railways or British military?
Oh, no, it was Chinese-controlled railways.
What were you doing up at Tientsin?
Well, this was much the same, again, guard duties. And in particular, we were sent out to small places, like police stations, and we had to guard political prisoners. Chinese political prisoners.
When you say political prisoners, who taken them and put them in prison?
This must have been the regime that was in control at that particular time had taken them as and made them prisoners.
Did you ever discover what they'd done to put them
in? No, we never found out. We just had to see that they got meals and were fed and watered, cleaned.
So were you troops guarding civilian prison?
Yes.
What were the conditions like under which the prisoners were held?
Well, there were small police cells.
Have these people been causing upset riots?
Well, we never found out what the reason was for them being there, but it seemed as if there must have been anti the regime that was in control.
The Chinese population around Tientsin, were they as quiet and easy to get on with as the others?
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Was this the only kind of duty that you were doing there?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where were you accommodated?
Well, in Tientsin, it was wooden huts. Perhaps about 10, I think, of us in each room. I would be a lance corporal in charge of this room with, say, about 9 other men in the same room.
Did you have opportunities for leisure again?
Very little. The only thing I could say was that we were playing cricket a little, then going to the what we would call the canteen and playing snooker and billiards again.
Is Tientsin a city of people
yes,
of size?
Yes.
And were you getting out into the area?
No, we didn't get out much in Tientsin, no.
The camp that you were in and the barracks that you were in, were they walled in some way? Was it a separate compound?
Yes, it was a big area, really, but well spread out.
Were you still basically an infantry company with the same
yes.
weaponry? There was nothing changing in that regard.
Yes, we were.
Mm-hmm. You're now into 1939, coming up to mid-1939. Was there any rumours or messages coming down that war in Europe may be coming?
No, we hadn't an inkling at all. That I was going to say that around about the middle of May, I, along with 17 others, I think it was, were picked out and were sent home to England without any idea that there was any war in there. In the near future.
Did they tell you why you'd been selected for this?
No, not really. But just the fact that there was a first batch of conscripts had been called up and that we would be sent home as instructors to them.
How long would you have been expected to serve abroad under normal circumstances?
I would say up to about 5 years.
What did you feel about being taken away from your company and sent back home?
Well, I wasn't best pleased, but It was a way of getting back to my own home and seeing my parents again, so I just accepted it.
How long had you been abroad at this point in time?
Just on 2 years.
Do you recall the journey that you made?
Yes, in detail. We left from Tientsin by local steamship down to Shanghai, and then by the Canadian Pacific, I think it was the Empress of Asia, across to Nagasaki in Japan, called at Kobe and then Yokohama.
Did you get any opportunities to get off the ship at these
No,
points?
We didn't there. Incidentally, it was there in Nagasaki that we saw the Japanese building ships, and they were obviously building them for the war that they were carrying out up till then with China.
These are warships.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there, so from Yokohama, we were sailed on to Victoria and Vancouver in Canada, and then by train, Canadian Pacific again, across Canada for 6 days via several well-known places. In one particular one was Winnipeg, where we have a sister regiment who we were allowed to get off the train for a few hours and were entertained by them. And we had a really good night.
Did they know that you were on the train, or did you get off and
yes,
meet yourself?
Yes, apparently they knew in advance.
So on this long journey, the army had plotted this.
Yes.
Mm. These stopping places, and basically you had nothing much to do.
Mm. Oh, no. Just
everyone knew who you were when you got there.
We were just sightseeing mainly from the train. It was such a beautiful country that we enjoyed it.
And you slept on the train?
Yes, oh yes, and meals on the train too, provided by the train company itself.
There were 17 of you. You were a lance corporal. Were there any senior ranks?
Oh yes, there was a sergeant major and two or three sergeants, full corporals. Yes.
And when you got to Winnipeg and your sister regiment entertained you, where was this done?
This was done in Winnipeg itself at their headquarters. With sort of a similar to our territorial head drill halls, you know, similar to that.
Your sister regiment, was that kind of a territorial regiment rather than a regular?
Yes, at that time, yes, the Winnipeg Light Infantry.
When you say that they laid things on for you, what kind of things did they do?
A meal and drinks.
No, no speeches?
No. Of course, we had to be do everything in not a rush, but just to schedule for the train to go, carry on with its journey.
Beyond then, where did you go after that?
Well, through several other well-known places and ended up at Quebec.
And what happened there? Where did you go after that?
Well, we stayed there overnight, and then we had to go on to the docks to onto the Empress of Britain, and sailed over to Cherbourg in France, and then to Southampton.
How long did this take?
I wouldn't be sure, but I think it would be about a fortnight.
When you landed in England, where did you go then?
From Southampton, we went to the 2nd Battalion headquarters at Woking in Surrey. And from there, I was sent home on leave. And I was home on leave for 3 weeks, and then got a telegram recalling me to Woking, and by this time the threat of war was imminent. And when on the Sunday morning we called to the corporal's mess, and there we heard the speech by Prime Minister Chamberlain to the effect that war was now not declared, but we were at war with Germany.
Were there any indications prior to that moment that seemed to indicate that war was coming? in your memory?
Just the fact that the advances by the Germans into Poland, etc., that it looked as if it was coming. I mean, Chamberlain had been to Germany to try with the Dove of Peace, but which failed.
So when war broke out, what did they do to you then?
Well, I was sent then, as the 2nd Battalion was going to France, we were sent up to Durham, to Bransworth Castle. And from Bransworth Castle, I was sent straight out to Durham City and joined several of the territorials there and was billeted in 2 or 3 different places in Durham. And shortly after that, sent to Chesley Street to the drill hall there.
Which battalion were you connected to?
In Woking, it was the 2nd Battalion. And then when I was sent to Chesley Street, we were forming a nucleus of the 11th Battalion.
Was this being formed from the 8th?
The 8th had just left for France, and a certain amount of them were left behind, and with myself and some of the new conscripts, first militia that were called up, were formed the 11th Battalion. And for a time I was stationed in Lambton Castle, in the stables there.
What kind of, what quality of man were you getting into the battalion?
Well, they were all quite young at that time. The conscripts, of course, would be, I think, 19, 20.
And they had no military experience at
all? None whatever. I was having to train them in handling of the rifle, drilling them, taking them out and into the fields around the Lambton Castle and training one range finding with the weapons, taking them in PT even, physical exercises.
The training that you were giving them, was it your own, in effect your own training that you had had with the 2nd?
Yes, it was just passing on my own experience.
Was there an emphasis on kind of First World War type training?
Oh no. There was a little bit of the bayonet training was similar.
Had you been well equipped as a new battalion?
Not really, no. By the February, I think it was, of 39, we were getting vehicles. We got a certain amount of vehicles, and I was taking some of the chaps out and taking them on driving.
This would be the February of 40?
Yeah, February 40, yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you have enough vehicles to do the tasks that was expected in a battalion?
Well, I don't think there was sufficient, really. But we had to put up with what we had.
And were these military vehicles?
Yes.
Who was commanding the battalion?
Oh. I had Lieutenant Colonel Greenwell as the commanding officer, and there was a Major G, and my own motor transport officer was Lieutenant Wood.
So which area of the battalion were you a part of?
I was a part of the headquarter company then. I had been made motor transport sergeant.
So you got two stripes?
Three.
But you had one?
Yes, and I was made up to three.
You made up to three.
Mm-hmm.